A Preliminary Discourse to Catechizing by Thomas Watson, 1620 to 1686. Thomas Watson, who taught with an easy and straightforward style, is a perennial favorite of modern-day readers of the Puritans. A member of the Westminster Assembly that composed the Shorter Catechism, his body of practical divinity contains the transcripts of 176 sermons preached on the subject. It is hoped that what follows will encourage us to consider incorporating catechism into our own family worship. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Colossians 1 verse 23. Intending next Lord's Day to enter upon the work of catechizing, it will not be amiss to give you a preliminary discourse to show you how needful it is for Christians to be well instructed in the grounds of religion. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. From this, two propositions. Roman numeral 1. It is the duty of Christians to be settled in the doctrine of faith. Roman numeral number 2. The best way for Christians to be settled is to be well grounded. Doctrine number 1. It is the duty of Christians to be settled in the doctrine of faith. It is the Apostles' Prayer. The God of all grace establish, strengthen, and settle you. 1 Peter 5 verse 10. That is, that they might not be meteors in the air, but fixed stars. The Apostle Jude speaks of wandering stars in verse 13. They are called wandering stars because, as Aristotle says, they do leap up and down and wander into several parts of the heavens, being but dry exhalations, not made of that pure celestial matter as fixed stars are. They often fall to the earth. Now, such as are not settled in religion will, at one time or other, prove to be wandering stars. They will lose their former steadfastness and wander from one opinion to another. Such as are unsettled are the tribe of Reuben, unstable as water, Genesis 49 verse 4, like a ship without ballast, overturned with every wind of doctrine. Beza writes of one Belphicitus, whose religion changed as the moon. The Arians had every year a new faith, and these are not pillars in the temple of God, but reeds shaken every way. The apostle calls them damnable heresies, 2 Peter 2 verse 1. A man may go to hell as well for heresy as adultery. To be unsettled in religion argues lack of judgment. If their heads were not giddy, men would not reel so fast from one opinion to another. It argues lightness. As feathers will be blown every way, so will feathery Christians. Tritium non rapit ventus inanis pale jactantur. That was Cyprian. Therefore, such are compared to children, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, Ephesians 4 verse 14. Children are fickle, sometimes of one mind, sometimes of another. Nothing pleases them for very long. So, unsettled Christians are also childish, the truths that they embrace at any given time. They reject at any other time. Sometimes they like the Protestant religion, and soon after they have a good mind to turn to papacy. Now that you may labor to be settled, as Ignatius, in the faith, in unsettled times of unsettled judgments, or of settled judgments, number one, it is the great end of the word preached to bring us to a settlement in religion. And he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we henceforth be no more like children. Ephesians 4 verses 11 and 14. The word is called a hammer. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Every blow of the hammer is to fasten the nails of the building. So the preacher's words are to fasten you the more to Christ. They weaken themselves to strengthen and settle you. This is the grand design of preaching, not only for the enlightening, but for the establishing of souls, not only to guide them in the right way, but to keep them in it. Now, if you are not settled, you do not answer God's end in giving you the ministry. Number two, to be settled in religion is both a Christian's excellence and honor. It is his excellence in that. When the milk is settled, it turns to cream. Now he will be zealous for the truth and walk in close communion with God. And his honor in that, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 16, verse 31. It is one of the best sights to see an old disciple, to see silver hairs adorned with golden virtues. Number three, such as are not settled in the faith can never suffer for it. Skeptics in religion hardly ever prove to be martyrs. They that are not settled hang in suspense. When they think of the joys of heaven, they will espouse the gospel. But when they think of persecution, they desert it. Unsettled Christians do not consult what is best, but rather what is safest. The apostate, says Tertullian, seems to put God and Satan in balance. That's also called fatalism, dualism. Having weighed both their services, prefers the devil's service and proclaims him to be the best master, and in this sense may be said to put Christ to open shame, Hebrews 6, verse 6. He will never allow for the truth, but be as a soldier that leaves his colors and runs over to the enemy's side. He will fight on the devil's side for money. Number four. Not to be settled in the faith is provoking to God. To espouse the truth and then to fall away brings an ill report upon the gospel, which will not go unpunished. They turned back and dealt unfaithfully. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. Psalm 78, verses 57 and 59. The apostate drops as a windfall into the devil's mouth. Number five, if you are not settled in religion, you will never grow. We are commanded to grow up into the head, even Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 15. But if we are unsettled, there is no growing. The plant, which is continually removing, never thrives. He who is unsettled can no more grow in godliness than a bone that is out of joint can grow in the body. Number six, there is great need to be settled because there are so many things that unsettle us. Seducers are abroad whose work is to draw away people from the principles of religion. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. 1 John 2, verse 26. Seducers are the devil's agents. They are, of all others, the greatest felons that would rob you of the truth. Seducers have silver tongues that can put off bad wares. They have a slight to deceive, Ephesians 4, verse 14. The Greek word there is taken from those that can throw dice and cast them for the best advantage. So seducers are imposters. They can throw a dice. They can so dissemble and sophisticate the truth that they can deceive others. Now the style by which seducers use to deceive is letter A. Seducers deceive by wisdom of words. by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16, verse 18. They have fine, elegant phrases and flattering language whereby they work on the weaker sort. Letter B. Another slight is a pretense of extraordinary piety, so that people may admire them and suck in their doctrine. Narrator's note, think of guys like Osteen, Copeland, the TBNers, Daystar, you know, women preachers like Paula White and, well, I don't know, I can't even think of them, but anyway, back to the narration. They seem to be men of zeal and sanctity, and to be divinely inspired, and pretend to new revelations. Letter C. A third cheat of seducers, that is a third cheat of seducers, or another method of seducers, is laboring to vilify and nullify sound orthodox teachers. They would eclipse those that bring the truth, like black vapors that darken the light of heaven. They would defame others that they themselves may be more admired. Thus the false teachers cried down Paul that they might be received. Galatians 4, verse 17. Letter D. The fourth cheat of seducers is to preach the doctrine of liberty as though men are freed from the moral law, the rule as well as the curse. And Christ has done all for them, and they need do nothing. Thus they make the doctrine of free grace a key to open the door to all licentiousness. Letter E. Another means to unsettle Christians by persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. The gospel is a rose that cannot be plucked without prickles. The legacy of Christ has bequeathed is the cross. While there is a devil and a wicked man in the world, never expect a charter of exemption from trouble. How many fall away in an hour of persecution? There appeared a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Revelation 12, verse 3. The red dragon, by his power and subtlety, drew away stars, or eminent professors, that seemed to shine as stars in the firmament of the church. Letter F. To be unsettled in good is the sin of the devils, Jude 6. They are called morning stars, but falling stars. They were holy, but mutable, Job 38, verse 7. As the vessel is overturned with the sail, so their sails, being swelled with pride, they were overturned, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. By unsettledness, men imitate lapsed angels. The devil was the first apostate. The sons of Zion should be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Doctrine number 2. The second proposition is that the way for Christians to be settled is to be well grounded. If ye continue grounded and settled. The Greek word for grounded is a metaphor which alludes to a building that has the foundation well laid. So Christians should be grounded in the essential points of religion and have their foundation well laid. Here let me speak to 2 things. Number 1, that we should be grounded in the knowledge of fundamentals. The apostle speaks of the first principles in the oracles of God, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. In all arts and sciences, logic, physic, and mathematics, there are some praecognita, some rules and principles that must necessarily be known for the practice of those arts. So, in divinity, there must be the first principles laid down. The knowledge of the grounds and principles of religion is exceedingly useful. Letter A. Otherwise, we cannot serve God aright. We can never worship God acceptably unless we worship Him regularly. And how can we do that if we are ignorant of the rules and elements of religion? We are to give God a reasonable service, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. If we do not understand the grounds of religion, how can it be a reasonable service? Letter B. Knowledge of the grounds of religion much enriches the mind. It is a lamp to our feet. It directs us in the whole course of Christianity, as the eye directs the body. Knowledge of fundamentals is the golden key that opens the chief mysteries of religion. It gives us a whole system and body of divinity, exactly drawn in all its lineaments and lively colors. It helps to understand many of those difficult things which occur in the reading of the Word. It helps to untie many scriptural knots. Letter C. It furnishes us with armor of proof and weapons to fight against the adversaries of the truth. Letter D. It is the holy seed of which grace is formed. It is semen fidei, or fidei, the seed of faith. Psalm 9, verse 10. It is radix amoris, the root of love, being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3, verse 17. The knowledge of principles conduces to the making of a complete Christian. Number two, this grounding is the best way to being settled. A tree, that it may be well settled, must be well rooted. So also, if you would be well settled in religion, you must be rooted in its principles. We read in Plutarch, of one who set up a dead man, and he would not stand. Oh, said he, there should be something within. So that we may stand in shaking times, there must be a principle of knowledge within, first grounded and then settled. That the ship may be kept from overturning, it must have its anchor fastened. Knowledge of principles is to the soul as the anchor to the ship that holds it steady in the midst of the rolling waves of error or the violent winds of persecution. First grounded, and then settled. Use number one. See the reason why so many people are unsettled and ready to embrace every novel opinion and dress themselves in as many religions as they do fashions. It is because they are ungrounded. See how the apostle joins these two together, unlearned and unstable, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Such as are unlearned in the main points of divinity are unstable. As the body cannot be strong that has the sinews shrunk, so neither can that Christian be strong in religion who lacks the grounds of knowledge, which are the sinews to strengthen and establish him. Use number two. See what great necessity there is of laying down the main grounds of religion in a way of catechizing, that the weakest judgment may be instructed in the knowledge of the truth and strengthened in the love of it. Catechizing is the best expedient for the grounding and settling of people. I fear one reason why there has been no more good done by preaching has been because the chief heads and articles in religion have not been explained in a catechistical way. Catechizing is laying the foundation. To preach and not to catechize is to build without foundation, Hebrews 6, verse 1. This way of catechizing is not novel. It is apostolic. The primitive church had their forms of catechism, as those phrases imply, a, quote, form of sound words, close quote, 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, and, quote, the first principles of the oracles of God, close quote, Hebrews 5, verse 12. The church had its catechisms, as Grotius and Erasmus observe. Many of the ancient fathers have written for it, as Fulgentius, Augustine, Theodoret, Lactantius, and others. God has given great success to it. By thus laying down the grounds of religion catechistically, Christians have been clearly instructed and wondrously built up in the Christian faith, insomuch that Julian, the apostate, seeing the great success of catechizing, put down all schools and places of public literature and instructing of youth. It is my design, therefore, the blessing of God, to begin this work of catechizing the next Sabbath day, and I intend every other Sabbath in the afternoon to make it my whole work to lay down the grounds and fundamentals of religion in a catechistical way. If I am hindered in this work by men or taken away by death, I hope God will raise up some other laborer in the vineyard among you that may perfect the work which I am now beginning.